is going on, my Ghost Squad? Welcome to Tactical Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. We are live on YouTube and simulcasting, as always, on gunchannels.com. If you're not familiar with gunchannels.com, it is a wonderful community that's pro-gun, pro-2A. I like to call it the water cooler of the gun community. We've got 24-hour lobby chats. They're going literally 24 hours, 7 days a week, that you can find answers. You can sit in and jump in on the chats, talk guns. Obviously, we can't talk guns 24/7, so we mix in some stuff in there, but you're more than welcome to come find us over there. I'm going to give you the link real quick, and come on over to the Gun Channel side. There is the link on the YouTube side. Like I said, most of your content creators and show hosts that you like to watch, most of us are over there, so... what in the world? I just saw something that says I have a Jessica Tandy on this show tonight. Okay. There you go. Mohawk boys being Mohawk boy. Send you the link in the Hangouts chat. Tack, I sent you. I don't know how the hell to do that. Hold on here. All right, hold on. Sorry, guys. We're having technical difficulties with one of the guys. So, let me see if I can do that. I don't know how to do that in the Hangouts chat. But let me... New conversation. There we go. Kevin... What if I call Tech... I don't know how to do it, brother. Send me a message, Tack. If you're out there, send me a message on Hangouts, and I will send one back to you, because I don't know how to work that stuff. So anyways, let's go ahead and check out who we got in the chat. It's been a nice romping chat so far. Let's see out there. Guys, if you're in the chat and haven't said hello or anything in the chat, we don't know you're here, so when you get in, go ahead and say hello. If it's your first time, welcome to Tactical Tuesday. Welcome to Ghost Tactical's channel. Say hello out there. Tell us where you're from. If you guys want to ask a question, go ahead and tag me in the chat or send me an email to live@ghosttactical.us, and we'll try to get those questions answered to the best of our abilities. I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, but we'll see how it goes. We've got Gunpowder Beauty, Laggy McLaggy Lag. I love that name. Gun-loving Grandpa Stanley's out there. We've got Shooting with Uncle Dan's out there. They've had a nice conversation going on. So Mel the Nut is out there. JB, John Brown Productions. Sarge is out there and in here. Let's see here. Patriot in the Dark's out there. Scott Pacini. Rich White, the 1%. What is going on, my man? Patriot says Ghost, he's working on the process of setting up that challenge. Oh, sweet. Good. I think you should do that. Let me know if I can help you in any way. Big Racers out there. Solitary Maverick. What's up, Iceman? Let's see here. Outsiders out there. Nighthawk. Midnight Range TM. Tack Daddy lies. He says fake news, the man says. Double T's out there. Travis T's out there. Gelsma's out there. JJ's out there. Or the Trucker, David Bowling. What's going on, guys? Before we get going, let's go ahead and run it through the panel, make our introductions. And on the Gun Channel side, G Web's out there. Raphael's out there. Knives is out there. Sandy, what's up, Sandhills? Richard Chamberlain's out there on the YouTube side. So let's run through the panel real quick and say hello to our gun-toting friends out there. And we've got from South Carolina, we've got the Outlaw Hatfield. What's up, my man?
Howdy, bro.
Howdy, brother.
How are you?
Howdy.
I see you somewhere.
I don't know. I don't hear it.
Well, that's weird. I definitely hear it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that. And from North Carolina, we've got the Sarge himself, Mr. C4 Defense. What's up, Sarge?
Hey, what's going on tonight?
Yeah, appreciate the invite. Glad I could jump in. Hopefully I can help out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're always going to be able to help out. Trying to get Tack over here. I don't know what's going on. I see some difficulties out there in the Hangouts world. What's up, Jared? Jared says he can hear an echo, so I don't know. Anybody else? I don't hear one.
I heard it for a minute, but it seems to have gone away.
It's gone away? Okay, maybe it was just maybe my mixer or something. I don't know.
Maybe it was coming from me. No, I don't hear it now.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe, hopefully it was gone. Maybe it was just, like I said, Hangouts has been some weird stuff going on, so hopefully it's gone. We're going to jump in real quick to our topic, and what we're going to talk about tonight, guys, is getting what I call newbies, but getting new people's new shooters to the range. How do we do that? And once we get them there, what's the best approach on teaching them? What do we teach them first? And what's the best way we can kind of get their experience to where they want to come back? And hopefully they bring more people into the community as well. So before we get going, what I want to do is our little first little public service announcement real quick. So we're going to go with this real quick.
Hey, Ghost Squad, this is Sky. At Ghost Tactical, we understand the rising tensions across America regarding guns and gun control. It is more important than ever to be vigilant about our Second Amendment rights. We encourage everyone to stay informed and contact your local, state, and federally elected officials to make sure they are hearing your voice. They represent you, and without your input, their votes may be vulnerable to outside influences. We ask that you actively support any gun rights organizations such as Gun Owners of America, Second Amendment Foundation, Firearm Policy Coalition, and even the National Rifle Association. We understand you may not agree with all the politics involved with some of the organizations, but we encourage you to keep up with and support as many as you can.
There you go. So my lovely daughter helping out with the PSA. So yeah, like I said, we understand that there are going to be some organizations that you don't like or don't feel like you want to support. That's fine. Support who you can. Start with the local and state level if you want to. I think that's where we really need as much support and fight is at the state level, local level. But if there's some national level organization that you want to, please support all that you can or that you're able to or willing to. So obviously we know that Mel the Nut is back. Gary the Gizzard, Calaveras is out there. What's going on? But no, we want to try to get as many support out there and many organizations we can to fight what seemingly seems to be an ongoing battle that we never seem to feel comfortable. I think that the gun community felt comfortable there for a while in 2017, but since October, we've kind of been on our toes, which is a good thing. I think it keeps us on our toes, keeps us fresh with our arguments and all of that. Laggy McLaggy Lag, he says his church group went shotgun shooting. Sadly, one guy got the girls, which were new shooters, shooting legit 20 gauges. Ouch. Not the best combo. One of them really liked shooting, though. That's great. I don't know if I would have started them out with shotguns. That's just me. But, hey, if that's what you have, then that's what you have. So let's go through the panel real quick, and let's talk to Ellis and to Sarge, and feel free to kind of jump in when you want. But what's the best way, and do you guys have any experience? I think we all probably do, but you know, let's talk about some of our experiences on how to get, first of all, before you talk about what to teach them, but maybe how to get new shooters to the range to at least me to fire that gun for the first time. Because I think we can all agree that all of us have that experience when we fire that first gun, pull that trigger for the very first time, whether you're scared or what, you're nervous, there's a little bit of adrenaline and excitement that happens. So, you know, we'll start with Ellis. You know, do you have any experience of bringing brand new shooters to the range for the first time? And if so, how did you get them there?
Well, of course, actually, I have had that experience more than a few times. And it always starts at a conversation about something totally different. You know, they'll come, I'm stressed out, I'm aggravated, I'm irritated, I had a bad day at work. And my response is always the same. Go to the shooting range. Fire off a few rounds. There's nothing more relaxing than putting rounds downrange. Well, I've never done that before. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get together. We'll go. I'll bring the guns. You can shoot my stuff. And that's normally how the conversation gets started. You know, I let them open up with something like I've had a bad day, you know, I need to relax. And, you know, what a better way to get into that frame of mind, that conversation, than to say, hey, look, I know a way. Have you ever shot a gun? You know, and at first, a lot of them are apprehensive about it. You know, no, I've never fired a gun. It never crossed my mind. But after they fire that first shot, after they get to that point where they're past the fear, and I've noticed that most of the time it's the noise that scares them more than anything else. They're worried about the noise more than they are anything else. And once they get past that first initial bang, they're good, because they realize that there ain't nothing to this. But right. But I agree with you. You don't want to put a shotgun in somebody's hands the first shot around.
I mean, like I said, if that's what you have, then that's what you have. But I think that there are probably better ways, especially if they're females that have never shot. I think there might be some different guns that might be a better choice for their first experience. That's just me. But like I said, you know, as long as you don't scare them away and they seem to like it, then so be it.
You know, just give them the basic safety, you know, protocols right up front. Hey, look, keep the thing pointed down range, you know, tell them to keep the safety on, show them how to release the safety when they're ready to fire, and then just let them go.
Let's run through some of the comments out there. David says that he started his friend's wife. Whoops, scrolled up, sorry. He started his friend's wife on an AR 2 months later, 200 yards crack shot. Patriot out there says he always pretends to run out of gas just in front of the range, and then they have to go inside to call. That's a really good one. Calavera says he generally likes to start new shooters on 22 long rifle, low recoil, and not super loud. Still plenty to teach safety. Absolutely. I think that's a great one. Vanessa says, what would you suggest I shoot at the range? I'm not saying for you. I'm saying if you're having a new shooter that's a female, I don't think that a shotgun is the right gun to introduce them to shooting. If once you get, you know, Vanessa, I'm sure, you know, you can handle whatever, but you're not a new shooter. But I'm saying that there are, in my opinion, better guns to introduce them to firearms that may not scare them or hurt them as much right off the bat. Let's see here. Mel says he likes bringing his 357 heavy with 38s and a soft shooter. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at, okay, well, Tack Daddy's working on some stuff, so he's trying to figure out what his problem is. He's got a lot of problems, but Hangout seems to be the one tonight. Mohawk Boy says, good to start a new shooters off with one round at a time, get some used to manual of arms, loading mags, the slide lock, etc. Yeah, Sandy says, taking his missus to meet a female friend or instructor of the range this weekend to introduce her to shooting the right way. That's a fantastic idea. And this isn't female specific, obviously. This is anyone. So let's go to Sarge, and I'm sure you've got plenty of experience, Sarge, to bring in new shooters. And before we start talking about the things to teach them, let's talk about maybe how you got the conversation started to get them to the range, and what was the weapon of choice to start them out.
Well, I think the first thing you got to do is like I said, invite them and just let them know that there's no pressure, that we're going to take this slow. First off, we're going to be safe, because a lot of times when someone goes to shoot with an experienced shooter, they're not only nervous about not doing it, they're nervous about what you're going to think about them, how you're going to act, and you just got to ensure them that we're going to take this slow. And as far as the first gun, I always want to start someone on a 22. I've got a handful of 22 pistols, and like Midnight says, start with one round at a time. Mm-hmm. Just because in case they shut down, they freak out, at least they're not holding a loaded gun. And then I load a couple, and then we load a couple more. Next thing you know, they've got a full mag. And the main thing to focus on for anyone is safety, because even if something goes wrong, as long as we're doing it safely, we'll all be okay. So that's my main focus, is safety when we get started.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's, like you said, you know, when you're looking at safety issues and all that, and I want to go back to something Ellis said earlier, and this might transition to something else, but you know, I think that that first shot for someone, whether how old they are, doesn't matter how old or what gender they are, that first shot, you're going to be nervous. They're going to be scared a little bit. And like you said, I think you're right, though. I don't think it's the power of the gun that might scare them. It's the noise. They don't really know what to anticipate with the noise and the recoil. So I think that it's one of those that if you can find something that's not going to sound like an explosion when they hit, as far as, you know, a shotgun or a 308, you know, we can find something that like a 22 or a 380 or a 38 special or whatever, something that's going to not scare the bejesus out of them on their first shot. I think that might be, like you said, Ellis, that might be something to look into, because we want them to come back. We want them to enjoy themselves, and something that's going to have little recoil. The noise factors are going to be big. That's why I do believe that the 22, like Sarge said, is probably the best option out there. So I threw a question out on the gun channels and on the YouTube side to ask everybody what their first gun that they remember shooting at a range was. Vanessa said her very first gun was a Smith & Wesson 629. Interesting. Gunpowder Beauty says the first gun that she ever shot was a Colt 357 revolver. Mohawk says that his was a J.C. Higgins 22 bolt tube fed. He still has it. Let's see here. Iceman says the first gun that he shot was an M16A1. David said the first shot at the range was an AT2. Nighthawk says 1973 Police Academy 22 caliber revolver, then the 38. And Midnight's trying to get street cred out there. Vanessa said 1982 at 21 years old. David says at AR-15 45 ACP.
How much street cred can Mohawk Boy honestly get?
I didn't want to say it. Mel makes a good point out there. He says, also be prepared for a new shooter not to like it. Not everyone's going to enjoy shooting. That's very, very true. David says he likes the Henry lever actions. I think everybody likes a good Henry. Patriot says at a public range in 1911, but as a kid, he shot everywhere and anything that he could get his hands on. Mel says a Ruger 10-22 and a Luger 22. Let's check the gun channel side. DT out there says a single shot 22 long rifle at scout camp, and Raphael says Foose's Ruger LCR 38. So interesting. Raphael says that his first gun that he ever shot was Foose's. That's awesome. It's nice to hear that maybe you're talking about, another gun channel brother helping and introducing someone to a gun. So that's awesome. Calaveras' first range gun is a 243. Okay, interesting. Jelsma says the A2. I have to assume that that means an M16A2. I'm going to go with that. Let's see here. So I'm going to ask you guys. So let's start with Sarge. Sarge, what was your first gun that you ever shot?
First one I ever shot was a 22... lever, and I still have that gun to this day. It's a Revelation
family heirloom.
I'm sorry, what
was it, like a family heirloom, or, you know, grandpa or dad's gun or something?
Yeah, my grandpa bought it on the way home from work one night, apparently, because he had several guns. He always went hunting when he was younger and took my dad hunting and everything. But he bought a 22 long rifle at a Western Auto on the way home from work, you know, like you would. It was, I think he said it was like 20 or 30 bucks when he bought it. And I've still got it to this day. It's the gun I learned to shoot on, and it's still works just fine. And, you know, with open sights, it's got a scope mount, but you shoot it with open sights, you can hit anything you need to. It's a very fun little gun.
Yeah, absolutely. Ellis, what was the first gun you ever shot?
It was a single shot 20 gauge. I was 4 years old. My dad actually had to hold up the front of the gun.
Yep. How'd that go for you?
I ended up on my ass.
I would imagine you would.
I ended up on my ass, but I was hooked.
That's pretty good. Now, let me ask you guys this. What was the first gun you ever purchased? Like, you actually purchased? We'll start with Ellis. What was the first gun you purchased? Remember?
If I'm not mistaken, it was also a single shot, but it was a 12-gauge.
A 12? Okay.
From a pawn shop in Marietta, Georgia.
There you go. There you go. Sarge, do you remember the first gun you bought for yourself?
I had to get unmuted there. The first one I bought for myself, and I'm embarrassed to say this, and I'm glad that I got rid of it. I bought a Jennings 9mm pistol off one of my buddies when I was old enough to buy a handgun, and that thing wasn't even safe when it was unloaded. So I was glad to pass that deal along to somebody else and get rid of it.
Well, I'm hoping that they didn't at least screw you with a price. So hopefully you got it for a good price.
No. I bought it cheap, and I can't remember who I sold it to, but I sold it to another buddy and just got rid of it because, you know, no external safeties, no internal safeties. It was just I just didn't like it at all. So I've since then got better taste and can afford a little bit better stuff now.
Ellis, do you still have your first gun?
Oh, hell no. That thing's been gone for a long time.
I'm going to catch up on the chat real quick. Sorry about that.
I think I sold that thing about a year after I bought it.
All right. My first gun that I remember shooting was at from Texas, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. I don't even know if they're outside of Texas or not, but in Texas they have a thing called Sky Ranch, and it was a summer camp. It was they had a couple different ones out depending on where you were in Texas, but you had a horseback riding, you had, you know, all sorts of stuff, and it was like a week long or 2 week camp. It was great. I loved it. It was just like just another summer camp that people go out and do different things. But first gun I ever bought, shot was a 22 lever action, and that was really my only experience of shooting guns was at those summer camps until I turned 18 and joined the Marine Corps. But the first gun I ever bought was the original Smith M&P, the revolver. And that was when I realized I don't like revolvers. And unfortunately, I was an idiot, and I sold it. And whether I like revolvers or not, I regret to this day selling that because that was the first gun I bought for myself. And so I regret doing that. I wish I had that back. And but no, that was the first gun that I bought. But my 22, so it sounds, you know, a lot of people out there are saying 22s and all that. So, you know, when we're talking about bringing a new shooter in, I think one of the discussions we need to have is what do we teach them first? You know, you get them, you're able to convince them whether you fake the running out of gas at the gate or whatever you do to get them to the range. So we get there, we've got them there, you know, we've got, make sure they've got hearing pro, eye pro. We've got, let's say we have an assortment of different guns. We've got, you know, anything from a little 38 special or 3D all the way up to a 45. And we got an AR, we got a shotgun, even, hell, let's say we got a 308. You know, we've got an assortment of guns that they can shoot all of them. You know, we figure out what we're going to shoot the first. But before we even get to there, what is the first thing we teach them? Is it the safety rules? Is it, or what is it? And let's start with Sarge. What's the first thing that we take a new shooter and we start teaching them about guns? What would be the first thing that you do?
I mean, the first thing you have to do is you just have to break it down simply. I mean, just explain how the semi-automatic works or how the revolver works. Explain how to, the four cardinal rules, you know, always keep it pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger outside the trigger guard. Be sure of your target and what's beyond it, and treat all guns as if loaded. Maybe not in that order, but right. And explain to them that if they follow those, that they're going to be okay, even if something happens. And like I said, just explain the process, because a lot of them, I didn't realize this to the other day, that some people don't understand sight alignment. They just will hold the front sight post on the target and not worry about where the back one is in relation. So you really just have to break it down to the very basic level, and you can skip ahead if they catch on really quick, but, and you just got to start off at the very, very basics And I teach concealed carry as well. And you would be surprised how many people come in that have never shot a gun before. That's one of the reasons why I'm a proponent for concealed carry, because you're taking that person. That was a big step for them. They were nervous when they got there. And main thing I tell them is on safety, and we're going to get through this with no problem. So safety first.
Yeah, they, you know, we're sitting there, and one of my buddies is a sheriff, and he gives CCW classes all the time. And every now and then he'll ask if I'm able to come out. If he's got a big class when they go to the range in the afternoon, you know, he doesn't want to be the only one out there with 10 or 11 shooters out there. So he always asks me to come out, and I'll help him, maybe help with some of the shooters. And it is, you're right. I mean, there are a lot of people that take their CCW class that have never fired a gun. This last class that I was in was maybe last month or whenever it was, helped him at the range. The lady had literally bought the gun like the day before and didn't go out and shoot it. She literally was still in the case and brought it to her concealed carry class. And so, you know, you're talking about, obviously they spent the morning session going over concealed carry. And part of that is the four safety rules. So the safety rules have been taught to everybody. At this point, we were sitting there trying to teach her how to grip it, the stance. I mean, we're starting from scratch. But I think it is kind of interesting how many people will take their concealed carry class and it is their first time, or at least maybe inside their first five times of ever handling a gun. So, but if concealed carry is what brings them to the gun community, like you said, I'm all for that. That's wonderful.
You know, one of the best parts about it, bringing a new shooter to the range, is they don't have any bad habits. You get to start off fresh. It's the one of the best parts.
Well, yeah, and I tell you, when I was in the Marine Corps and we went in second phase of boot camp, we went up to Pendleton and we spent a month up there at the range and doing all that stuff. And the first week or two was the rifle range. And, you know, like I said, I had very, 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 very limited experience shooting guns, which was basically 22s when I was a kid. So I had really no experience. And so I was nervous because all the other guys were talking about how they've been shooting guns and hunting their whole lives. I'm thinking, well, crap, I'm going to look like an idiot, you know. And it was really odd that the drill instructors there and the safety officers there at the range were excited to have four or five of us that had never really shot a gun before. They said, you don't have any bad habits. You don't have an ego. You don't have any expectations. You're going to listen to everything we say. And whether their way is the right way or not, it is their way. It's the Marine Corps way of how they want us to shoot. And so I learned basically how to shoot at boot camp. And ironically, when we had our quals, I was one of the top six or seven in our platoon in qualification scores. And most of the guys that had come here bragging how much they shot their whole lives and hunted and all that stuff were towards the bottom third of the class. So, which I thought was really interesting.
Well, you have to also take into consideration too, when you're talking about stuff like that, is every rifle, a bolt action does not shoot the same way as a semi-automatic rifle. A revolver does not shoot the same way as a semi-automatic pistol. It's a completely different repulses or, you know, recoil pulse. So no, if you're sure, you might be able to shoot a bolt action rifle with a scope, absolutely wonderful. Take the scope off, use iron sights on a semi-automatic rifle, you're not going to shoot the same. It's two totally different things.
G over here on the Gun Channel side makes a great point. He said he doesn't often hear people suggest asking the new shooter where they are, where they're from, figure out where to start off based on the new shooter's experience and age. Have a conversation, ask the kids or whoever what they think of guns, ask open-ended questions to figure out where their head's at. I think that's a great point because obviously if they're at the range with you, hey, they do trigger control. What? Maybe I missed something up there, but you know, if they're at the range, they obviously are there for a reason. They either want to shoot or they're at least interested enough to come to the range. So I think that's a really good point is having this discussion, and maybe the discussion happens before you get to the range. But I think that, you know, the question is what do you think about guns, whether or not they're pro gun at that time or not, they're obviously open-minded enough to go to the range. So that's the first step is just getting them there. But yeah, having a discussion, asking them, you know, what they want to shoot. Because I think it's an interesting thing is if you ask the average person what they want to shoot first, you probably are going to hear AR. You're probably going to hear shotgun or something like that. Now, AR, I wouldn't really have a big problem with because you're going to have a little more recoil control with an AR than you would with a bolt action or some, or a shotgun and all that. So I really wouldn't mind an AR. If you're going to go rifle, probably, excuse me, probably AR would be a smart choice outside of a 22 caliber. I would say the AR would be a smart choice. I'm more of a handgun guy, so I think that now let me ask you guys this. Would you start out you guys are talking about 22, and I know, Alice, you said a shotgun, but if you guys were to start out in a handgun, would you start 380 or 38 or 9, or, you know, would you start with a 45, or what would you guys do? Would you start out small and work your way up, or would you say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and throw you into the wolves, we're going to throw a 45 ACP at you, because if you can handle this, you can handle everything?
I don't know if you guys remember when I was dating Gina or not, several months back.
Yeah.
I was with her when she fired her first round, and she wanted to shoot a gun. We discussed it on the way there. She had never fired one. She was interested in shooting something. Well, all I brought with me that day was the 7.62 AR and the 357 Magnum. That's what I had. I had 38s loaded into 357, and she wanted to shoot it. I let her shoot it, and she did excellent. But you have to understand that that 38 round coming out of that heavy Ruger, there wasn't much recoil there to speak of. I mean, it right. was just a light shooting gun. That was light loaded ammo anyway. So
sure.
She handled that great. I have taken people out and let them shoot my 45. And, mm-hmm. you know, 45, depending on the gun, does not have a whole lot of recoil to it. In fact, it's been my experiences, a lot of 45s actually have more less of a recoil impulse than 9mm.
A lot of them do, and I think it really depends on 1911, or is it a polymer or whatever. So, you know, if it's a 1911, one of the heavier guns, then yeah, you're probably going to have a little less recoil than a light polymer Glock, you know, let's say, might have a little more recoil on 45 because, or 9mm, because like I said, it's a lighter, but that heaviness of a 1911 might kind of offset for some people. And we're also talking the size of the person, you know, if they're, you know, 6'2" and 200 pounds, then they could probably handle something more than a 380. And chances are their hands are probably might be too big for a 380. So, you know, a lot of that goes into what actually is going to fit their hand as well. And I think that's something that a lot of people tend to forget when you're talking about shooting for the first time, is we got to make sure that no matter what caliber, no matter what gun we suggest, it needs to be something that actually works for that person. It might fit their hand. You might even have to change out the back straps or side panels of a pistol to make sure that it fits someone's hand properly, because if it's too big for their hand, then they're not going to, no matter what you teach them, they're not going to probably get a proper grip. If it's too small, you know, you could have some issues. So there's a lot of different things, but I think the size of the gun might also have to do with the size of the person as well. What do you guys think about that?
I don't see you ever wanting to give somebody that's never shot a gun an air weight 38. As light as they are, those guns are not fun to shoot. They're not shooters. They're for self-defense. And they hurt when they go off. Even a 38 in an air weight stings a bit when it goes off. So they're not enjoyable. But something, like I said,
everything's going to have that. You literally have a small explosion 6 inches from your face. So yeah, I mean, they're all going to sting a little bit regardless of what you use, you know?
Yeah, but compare that to that same 38 kind of out of a, you know, 4-inch barrel Ruger GP100. It's
right.
There's going to be a world of difference there.
Right. So let's yeah, kind of move into that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sarge. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say, I agree with what you're saying about the gun needs to fit that person, because if you start off with one they're not comfortable with, they're not going to shoot well. And the other overlooked point that you guys had touched on was they need to shoot a nice heavy gun that will handle the recoil, because if you put an air weight in their hand or something that's really going to have a lot of pop, they're going to get even more nervous. So like you said, I start them with the 22, and then when we go into the 9 or 45, we get a nice heavy full frame gun, and I kind of skip right over 40 and 357. We just hit the high spot. So maybe, and I might hit them with, they can try the 380, you know, between the 22 and the 9, but it's got to feel good in their hand or they're not going to like it. So that's a very overlooked point.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is we're trying to make it an enjoyable experience for them. And, you know, if the gun doesn't fit, then it doesn't matter what we're teaching them. It's not going to be as good of an experience as you should have. That's why I think you should take a myriad of guns and a big, you know, if you've got them, or if you've got the availability to get them, take a large number of guns for them to, you know, shoot all of them, but try to figure out which one works best for them. Rob D out there says, I think you should start people on long guns, then large, small to mid-sized calibers with big targets to start. This is why they have funnel way up. That was going to be my next, we're going to transition to this. And as far as beginners, you know, we talk about, you know, the targets that you and I might shoot might be different than obviously we want to start out new shooters. You know, do we want to, I say we want to start them out with big silhouette targets from, you know, 3 or 5 yards. I mean, you know, 10, 15 feet with big silhouette targets, kind of get their confidence up. How many people, and I'll say this out there to the chat and here in, what's up, Zorro? In the chat and in here with you two guys, have y'all ever start anybody out with, we'll call them reactive targets? Anything with watermelons exploding, or, you know, I wouldn't say Tannerite right off the bat, but I'm assuming that people have started with Tannerite, but something to give them that positive feedback, and something happens where you're exploding a pumpkin or something. Something that kind of gets them excited. Have you guys tried that before? And we'll start with Sarge.
Yeah, a lot of times if they're doing well and they're shooting a paper target, like you said, a full size paper target, I let them shoot some soda cans. You can go up to the, I got a Dollar General I can run to. I can get a case of the orange soda, and man, they pop. They go off. They only cost a few bucks for 12 of them, and that's a good reward. For a good day of shooting.
Yeah, I've actually seen people, not necessarily cans for the first time for first shooters. I've seen them get like the 2-liter bottles, and you can get those for like, let's say you go get some of that orange, generic orange stuff that nobody drinks. So the Dollar General might have them on sale for 35 cents per bottle because they're trying to get rid of it every now and then. Go buy 3 or 4 of those, and people will let the beginner shoot because it's a bigger target. Obviously it's taller, I should say, and it's wider, but you shoot that and all the soda flies everywhere. So something like that. Rocall says he used splatter targets. I love splatter targets. I use them all the time. I still use them myself. But they do let you kind of see where the projectile's hitting the target. But you know, I think like you said, going back to the very first time someone shoots, I think you try to make it as fun as you can. And if you can find any kind of reactive target, whether it Tannerite, I wouldn't say that, but if you want to, go for it. But you know, a cantaloupe or an apple or a watermelon or whatever, something like that. Ellis, do you have experience, and have you ever tried to use reactive targets to kind of increase someone's thoughts about the range on their first time?
I have taken people out loads of times to shoot, even new shooters, to shoot water bottles, water jugs, soda cans, of course, beer cans. Beer is fun because beer just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
It's been expensive to do that, but we have done it. But yeah, man, and they get a kick out of it. You know, they see that can explode, man. They just, wow, let's do that again. You know,
right.
It's like setting a hook on a fish. All you got to do after that is reel them in.
Well, and Calaveras out there says that he uses empty cans and fills them up with water, so it doesn't cost anything. Everyone's got empty cans lying around somewhere, or empty water bottles or whatever. Fill them up with water at the water fountain or something, and you don't have to go and buy the different sodas and all that. But yeah, I mean, anything you can think of that might bring that visual of, you know, when they hit that target for the first time, something's going to happen. Because you and I we all know how much it is to experience that first shot and the adrenaline rush and all that. But if you're talking about someone who may not be pro-gun, someone who's kind of testing and dipping their toes in the water to see if they like guns or not, we want that experience to be as positive as we can right off the bat. So what I say is go get a watermelon. And it sounds crazy. Go splurge the few dollars on your watermelon and put it 10 feet away and give them whatever gun you want to shoot. Or maybe not a watermelon, but maybe a cantaloupe or something big enough that they can hit no matter what they are. If you work on their grip and you tell them all the good stuff and even help them aim in if you want, the very first trigger pull they have, something explodes, I think you've got them hooked right there. So, be thinking about that. If you're going to take someone out there, be thinking ahead that there's something you can do to help that experience get better, because if they pull the trigger the very first time, and either they miss or nothing happens, they hit a target, but nothing happens, you're like, oh, that was kind of cool. I like that. I like that. But that's all it was. They pull a trigger and something explodes, whether it's a can or a bottle or a fruit or whatever, and it explodes. I guarantee you they're going to be like, man, that was awesome. That was cool. And you've just set them up for years maybe of enjoying guns. And so I think that that's something we all need to keep in the back of our minds. If you're going to take someone to the range, be creative maybe on how you're going to elevate their enjoyment experience. What are some of the things that you guys have done maybe creative wise to help? I'm not saying a reaction target, but what have you guys done that maybe you think has helped someone enjoy their first day on the range? Ellis, have you done anything crazy or fun for the shooters?
No, nothing too extravagant. Honestly, other than just the beer cans, that's something. Yeah. They see those beer cans explode, man. That's some excitement right there.
Yeah. Someone just said, who was it? Oh, Calaveras said shooting clay pigeons are fun. Yeah. Anything clay that you can get your hands on. And I think Laggy said that earlier, but yeah, if you can get your hands, don't shoot. You food monster. Oh, okay. So, Mohawk Boy is out there for the food. We'll call it the food community saying, don't shoot food. Call me a monster. Okay. My bad. How about this? Why don't you go to your local grocery store and ask the produce manager, hey, where are the produce foods that you're getting ready to throw out because they've gone bad or they've gone rotten? They'll probably give those to you. So you're not shooting anything that's going to be consumed by the public. You're shooting something that's getting ready to be destroyed anyway. So think about that. Who knows? I don't want to piss off the food people. So God forbid. Rich White said the Palacio lantern is a target. That would be a good one. Really good one. Let's see here. Check out the gun channel side. Kelsey's only 28, but he's taught two or three people how to shoot. That's awesome. He also said that his first handgun he shot was a semi-auto 380, a little compact. He was young and had always thought it was a really cool, heavy recoil gun. Now as an adult, when he was younger, when he shot, he thought that was, man, that's a big kick, and now he's a big, older, and he's like, what? So, yeah, that's going to happen. Remember, because you also do, like G said earlier, and what we also remember, guys, if you're out there trying to take someone shooting for the first time, that's a Freudian slip, wasn't it? If you're out there trying to take someone to shoot for the first time, remember, like you said, their age, their size. Don't give them something that's going to absolutely overpower them. Find something that's comparable to their size and their age and move from there. William Stanley says he uses clay targets also. Yeah, they're great. Midnight says, wait, you can shoot honeydew. They suck. They're just filler melon. Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate your authorizing honeydew. Appreciate that. So let's go real quick. We've got about 10 minutes before hit or miss starts. Let's talk real quick. What's the best way to, and someone's, I don't know if it was Sarge or Ellis talking about sight alignment. And basically a lot of people, most experienced shooters, when they're teaching someone, they do talk about picking up that front sight. But I think we all maybe sometimes forget that we're so used to picking up that front sight, and our eyes kind of automatically kind of level in the rear sights, but without having to really think about it. But aside from sight acquisition and all that, is the grip or is it the trigger? I mean, you know, how to position your finger on the trigger. What's, you know, what's one of the first things you do? And I like to say the grip is what I like to teach because that's obviously what's holding the gun. But a lot of people actually that I've seen actually, instead of working grip first and then trigger, a lot of people will work trigger backwards because you start the trigger on the, your finger on the trigger. Obviously it's unloaded, but you start the proper point of your trigger finger on the middle of the trigger and then take your grip around that. What do you guys think? Is that a good idea to start with trigger first, or do you want to start grip first?
I think,
let's go.
I think fundamental.
Oh, okay. Or Sarge, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
It's fine. I think either one's fine. When jump back to side alignment, I always, an easy thing to do is just to hold your arm all the way out with your index finger up and then hold your two fingers in a V behind it and show them an exaggerated example of how to line up your three fingers like that, just like it's a sights, put that on the target, and it kind of makes it come together. Kind of shows them what they're supposed to do. But kind of with the grip and the trigger, I kind of teach them at the same time with an unloaded gun. I make them point at the trigger, or excuse me, point at the target, get their sight alignment, and massage their grip just a little bit, move it, tweak it, right, and then have them pull the trigger. And then I'll re-rack it for them, have them pull the trigger again and kind of get used to it. Because I know what I see a lot, and I don't quite understand this, but I see this every time I teach a class, at least one person is going to go to the line that hasn't shot much or hasn't shot in a long time, and they're going to cross their thumbs on a semi-automatic. And I told them, I'm going to warn you a couple times and try to get you to change it. And then if you don't, you're going to get cut. I mean, it's just the way it is. That slide's going to take a little chunk out of your thumb, and it's going to remind you next time. Yeah. You'll remember next time. So I kind of do the grip and the trigger at the same time, just with an empty gun.
Jill's real quick before I go to you, Ellis, Jill's was saying trigger control first. And like I said, there's no right or wrong answer to this. I think that I'll go to you, Ellis, and then I'll make my statement. But what do you think?
I'd have to say grip first for the whole slide bite thing. That's I don't want to see nobody bleeding on the first day at the range. That's sort of a bad thing. So, yeah, I think you start with a grip. Then you work with the trigger on, like he said, an empty gun. You know, and once they get those two things worked out, then you can move on to everything else.
Right, right. And like I said, there's not a right or wrong answer. I typically go with grip first, but I was at the range a couple days ago, and I was shooting, actually, ironically, I was shooting a video talking about four or five basic fundamentals that everyone kind of needs to learn to shoot. We're talking grip, stance, you know, breathing, trigger control. And there was a guy that was there with, I don't want to judge anything. It could have been his daughter, or it could have been his young wife. I don't know. He was at that age where he could have had a 21, 22, 23-year-old daughter, or he could have had a 23-year-old girlfriend. I don't know. But anyways, it was a guy's mid-40s with an early 20s girl. And it seemed to be that the first time, or at least the first couple times that they were shooting, and it was easily the first time that she'd been handling a handgun for sure. And he was trying to teach her and all that. And I like to sit back and kind of watch people that are teaching their people, because I might pick up something, then learn how to talk to different people different ways. So I always kind of watch and learn, and hopefully they don't do anything that's crazy, because you have to step in maybe. But I try not to. But I always just kind of like to observe and see what people are always doing. I think that's one way you're going to learn how to help yourself out, is if you watch other people. But anyways, he based it around the trigger, and he said, you know, what you want to do is you want to put the, you know, your finger on the middle of the trigger and then work the grip. And the reason why he was saying that is if you work on grip first, you know, with everyone's is different, you might have to change your angle on your hand to make sure that your fingers get in the trigger well properly. But if you start your grip around the trigger, you'll get immediately that kind of satisfaction and reaction of, oh, this is where my hand's supposed to be every time, because this is where I get a good firm grip with my right hand, but my trigger finger is in a proper place. So I never really thought about that, but I like that. Yeah, Sarge says a midlife crisis. Like I said, I don't want to judge. It very well could have been his daughter. I don't know. But no, it was interesting because, like I said, I always kind of started with grip and then moved to trigger. And he started with trigger and moved to grip. And then went to stance. And getting into the stance, there's so many different stances you could have. But, you know, I think as long as they have a good solid base of feet shoulder width apart, you know, chin over the toes, weight kind of on the toes a little bit and all that, whether they go with, you know, there's all sorts of different stances that you could go with. So as long as they've got a good base, that doesn't really need to be discussed. I think that you let them choose and work all sorts of different stances to figure out what's comfortable for them. But as far as the grip and the trigger, I think those two are the first two things as far as mechanics go of shooting. Those are the first two. And I guess there's really no right or wrong answer. Is there, guys, to which goes first, the trigger or the grip? I don't think there could be a wrong answer as long as both of them are getting covered. What do you guys think about the grip versus trigger, the safety rules? You know, how far and how advanced do you go on that first day? Do you basically go the safety rules and the grip, the trigger control, and your stance, and then that's basically the first time, let them shoot? Or, you know, I always try to do dry fire first, at least 10 or so dry fire shots before I let them put a real round in there. But is that, what do you guys think? Is that something that, don't get overcomplicated, just kind of do the basics the first time, let them shoot, and if they seem to like it, then we can start kind of moving on into the next time they come to the range, we'll go a little more advanced stuff? Or do you want them to have all the information they can get that first time? What do you guys think? Let's start with Ellis this time.
I honestly think that you don't want to overstress the situation. There are the first time shooter, they're already going to be nervous. They're always going to be, okay, I know he's already told me I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this.
Right, right.
Keep it as basic as you can get. And let them go with their own pace from that point on. You know, as you go further along, okay, well, you want to do this. You want to lean in more like this. You want to, you know, squeeze a little more here, relax a little more there, you know. Keep the gun pointed down range. You know, you teach them the basic safeties, and then you add on to it as you go.
Yeah.
Like learning anything else. You can't go from not knowing how to count to 100 to, you know.
Yeah. Now, local 223 out there says he goes all the way on the first date. Nice one, Clay. I appreciate that. Hey, what's up, Zorro?
You sure that wasn't midnight?
No, that was Clay who said he goes all the way on the first date.
Alan told me midnight did too. So I don't know what that was all about.
Well, I heard he lets people go all the way on the first date. So
okay.
There's a difference.
Maybe that's what I heard.
Yeah, Rob D says with a new person, he's just keeping it pointed down range can be a task. That is so true. The safety issue is obviously the number one issue before you let anyone pull that trigger. It's the safety issues. You got to teach them safety. That's given. I don't think anyone's going to even let anyone actually touch or handle a gun before going over safety rules. And you know, we all, like you said, we all know the four major safety rules. We could all, you know, talk that in our sleep, talk about the safety rules, but that's something that before we even handle a gun, we're probably not doing that without the safety rules. We're talking once the safety rules have been established and taught, we're talking that. So we're kind of wrapping up here. It's a few minutes before hit or miss starts. I want to go ahead and play another PSA real quick. So if you give me a second, I'll play this one.
Hey Ghost Squad, this is Sky. We here at Ghost Tactical would like to continue the trend of becoming more involved in any gun safety and training. We encourage everyone, no matter your skill level, to continuously look for training in your local area. We think that taking a gun safety course every other year is important. We also believe that taking classes and training for self-defense and home defense are extremely important. Make sure to go looking for classes and training opportunities when you can. This not only helps you become more proficient with your firearm, but it helps support your local instructors and Second Amendment community as a whole. Back to you, Ghost.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone here knows that how big on practicing and training that I am. And a lot of people don't necessarily like training. You know, there's a difference, obviously, between practicing and training. I love both. A lot of people like practicing, but I like training. And as a matter of fact, I'm working on a way right now to get KD. He lives about 5 hours from me up in Missouri. And I was going to go up there somewhere to take some training with him. And he said if I can get, you know, X amount of people to do it, he would come down to me. So we're working on trying to get KD to come down this summer and do some training with me and some of my buddies down here. So I'm looking forward to that. But there's always stuff that you can do to be more proficient. But as far as a new shooter, let's kind of go back and I say that the number one thing is safety. Safety, 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 safety. Teach them how to be safe with that firearm, because if they're not safe, not only could they hurt someone or kill someone, they're not going to have an enjoyable experience. And then obviously the basic mechanics of holding it, whether it's a rifle or a pistol or whatever it is, you know, the proper mechanics on how to shoot. But the biggest thing after those things are given, the biggest thing is try to make it as fun as you can, whether it's shooting and exploding fruits or vegetables or cans or water bottles or whatever. Or just, you know, those targets that can show up and show you where the projectiles hit the targets and all that. Anything that you can do, especially the first few shots, that will kind of excite them and want them to do it more, because that's the ultimate goal, is to get people out there to shoot. We all remember our first time to shoot and how exhilarating it was and all of that, the adrenaline rush you have. But we want these things, especially if they're people that are kind of borderline, whether they like guns or not. I think it's crucial for them to have an absolute blast. So don't be yelling at them. Try to have them, you know, real laid back. If you can get more than one person they might be friends with or more comfortable with, you know, try to do it that way to where it's not just a one-on-one thing where it's all the pressure's on them. Enjoy it. Take the day. You know, don't rush them into doing anything. Make it a day. Take 2 or 3 hours and spend the day, have a lunch out there, whatever you got to do. But, you know, I think it's really crucial to get new shooters to really, really enjoy their first range experience, because it's either going to go one of two ways. Either they're probably not ever going to come back and they're going to not necessarily hate guns, but they're never going to come back. Or you just help another ally come to the community and say, you know, I really wasn't sure about guns, but man, you helped me really enjoy my first experience. Let's go to the gun shop. I want to buy my first gun. It's literally happened that way. I've actually seen it where someone has gone to the range with one of my guns for the first time ever, shot one, and said, hey, will you take me to the gun shop and help me pick out my first gun? Absolutely. Let's go. So I think that's one of those things that is really important. What I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to run it through the room, let Sarge and Ellis talk about anything they've got going on, and so, Ellis, let's go with you first. What you got going on? Are you going to plug anything or talk about any shows or whatever?
Yeah, actually, I do. Next week, I will not be doing my shows. I'm not even going to be in town next week. So, I told them that I was planning on doing a reunion show sort of for next week, but that's going to be the week after I'm going to do the reunion show. Okay. So Monday or Tuesday night next week will not be on. The week after that, I'm going to do the reunion show. I'd like to get Ghost and Clover, G-Webs, if he can show up, Matt, Never Enough Ammo. I want to get back to some of the guys that I've, you know, helped me get this whole thing started, get them back on the show for that night and, you know, just talk about things and how much things has changed over the last year for all of us. So, sure. That's about it, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the link, Ghost.
Oh, glad to have you. Love having you on anytime. Sarge, what you got coming down the line?
I got on the range today, actually. Got in front of the camera. Right, filmed some stuff. And, you know, edit some video this evening. Hopefully get it out tomorrow. And awesome. You know, I re-recorded my hat giveaway video. I'm giving away a hat on the May 31st live stream. So I got some new hats I just picked up today. And speaking of which, I'll have one mailed to you here this week as well, since I just got some made. And
looking forward to it.
That's about it. I mean, like I said, when I take them to the range, I want to keep it short, keep it sweet, teach safety, and let them shoot several different guns and leave on a success. So I appreciate having
that. Yeah, appreciate you, brother. I'll
see you hit or miss here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, before we get out of here, I do want to plug a channel for the Gun Channels Blitz. The name of this channel is Firearms 101, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He's been putting some good videos out. He just had his 250 sub a couple nights ago, maybe, his giveaway and all that. But he's putting some really good content out there. His link is there on the YouTube side. I'm going to put on the Gun Channel side as well. This is Firearms 101, so go check him out. And what we're asking you to do is, if you like his stuff, if not, then it is what it is. But if you like his stuff, find a video that you like the most, and in the comments, just put the hashtag GunChannelsBlitz and let them know that we're out here supporting them. We're trying to support anyone and everyone that turns a camera on, because we all know we've all started and we've all kind of been that new guy where we were nervous about turning the camera on. Should I not? And when we finally make that first move to put that first video out, we're not sure how it's going to be received. And do I suck, or am I any good at this? And why aren't people watching and all that? So we need to help as many people as we can in the firearm community, whether they are friends with us or not. It makes no difference. If they're in the gun community and they're putting out content, we got to go support them and show them that, hey, we're here to support you when you're first starting out. We're going to help you get along, and we're going to watch your stuff. And sometimes that's all it needs, is that first confidence boost from people saying, okay, I'm reaching some people. They seem to like my stuff. So let's get out there, support. This week we're going to go with Firearms 101. So go check out the channel. As far as me, I just want to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day. Thank you to all the veterans out there. Thank you to everyone that has given the ultimate sacrifice in our history, because we would literally not be in a great country that we are without those veterans and those people that sacrificed their lives for the rest of us. So, you know, what I suggest you guys do on Memorial Day is remember that it's not about cooking steaks and hot dogs and drinking beer, going to the lake. It's about remembering the people that sacrificed their lives for us to be able to go on the lake and drink our beer, eat our hot dogs, and eat our steaks. So if you see a veteran, go ahead and shake their hand, say thank you. What I would suggest you do is, if you have time, go to a cemetery, a local cemetery, and go to Walmart and get, you know, a cheap bouquet of flowers or something. Go to any local cemetery and go find yourself a headstone that says, you know, Army veteran, a Marine Corps veteran, Navy veteran, or Coast Guard veteran, and whether you know them or not, and go place some flowers at their grave and say thank you. Because it's people like that that are giving us the opportunity to have a 3-day holiday weekend. And so just be mindful of why we have this holiday. It is Memorial Day. It's not beer drinking, hot dogs, and Lake Day. It's Memorial Day weekend. So just like I said, thank you to all the vets out there. Thank you to everyone that sacrificed the ultimate. You know, you can't hear me, but you maybe hear me up there. But thank somebody. And if you know someone that's died and you know their wife, go thank their wife. Thank you for your husband's service. If it's say thank you for your wife's service. Whatever it is, thank someone for some service, because that's really ultimately what it's about. America is the greatest country in the world. I think everybody knows that, but there's a reason why that we're the greatest country in the world. We have people that have given the ultimate sacrifice to ensure our way of life never goes away. And freedom is a beautiful thing, and it's one of those things that I'm very, very serious about. So, go buy lunch for a veteran or something. But I think that, something that you can do that people may not think about is go get a cheap bouquet of flowers or a flower. It makes no difference. Go to any of your local cemeteries, go find any tombstone that says they're a veteran, and put some flowers and just say thank you. So if we all remember that kind of thing, I think our country would be a better place, and maybe we get to, get along a little bit better, because we see the big picture instead of the small things. The small fights will make it great, but the big picture is what it's all about. So enough for my preaching. I apologize it. But thank you guys for watching. Go check out Hit or Miss on the YouTubes. It's Night Strike 1 is the channel. On Gun Channels, it's Hit or Miss. make sure you go check out those. And Big Gunner might be doing a show later on tonight. Go check out all the shows tomorrow night, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Man, gun channels in this gun community, we have so many great shows, and there's multiple shows every night. Thank you for always watching and supporting my channel and my show. I love every single one of you. And thank you so much for watching. We will see you next week. Happy Memorial Day. Semper Fi.